So let's move to the next slide, that is economic principles relevant to managerial decisions. The very important economic principles which have been found to be applied in the subject of business are division of labor, opportunity cost, equi-marginal principle, market equilibrium, diminishing returns, game theory, measurement principle, medium of exchange, income expenditure equilibrium, surprise principle. Now, out of this, most of you may be really interested in knowing what surprise principle. We will be learning about these principles in the further slides, one at a time. So let's go ahead. Here we start with the very first principle, the economic principle, very popular in economics, called division of labor. Division of labor is associated with the name of Adam Smith. Now, Adam Smith is an economist who believed that division of labor is very important in improving the standard of living. He has related, we will find division of labor principles in topics like returns to scale and vicious circle in economic growth. The virtuous circle in economic growth, it says that in economic growth, as the economy is growing from one stage to the other, the division of labor will start taking place on a larger or a wider scale. And when we talk about returns to scale, the main reason why companies enjoy returns to scale will be because of using division of labor. Returns to scale is a topic that you will be studying under production, where you will realize that how division of labor can improve the process of production and make it very faster by minimizing the cost. So, use of division of labor has been found in topics like production, in subtopics like returns to scale, and in macroeconomic topics like understanding the economic growth process of the economy. We move to the next principle. The second principle that has been found to be very useful is opportunity cost principle. Now, what is opportunity cost? Opportunity cost is basically highlighting concepts or highlighting the fundamental problem like scarcity. Now, resources are scarce, time is scarce. We do face a lot of situations where there is scarcity involved. That is where the opportunity cost principle makes its application, its relevance. The idea of opportunity cost is that anything you must give up in order to carry out a particular decision is a cost. It says that whenever you make a decision, you have to give up something. So if you are sitting now and listening to my lecture, you are definitely sacrificing something at this moment. So there is an opportunity cost involved in your listening to my session. When you go to your place of work, you are again sacrificing something, like maybe the time that you are at the workplace. You could have done something else, but you cannot. So there is an opportunity cost of working. As working mothers, many of you might have experienced that you have to send the children for baby care or babysitting. So the time that you could give to the child is given to your place of work. So there is an opportunity cost involved with your time at your place of work. Even for men, when we talk about the opportunity cost, yes, the number of hours that they are at the place of office, they cannot be with their family. So there is an opportunity cost. We are always placing a trade-off in our life. Similarly, in business, what the company selects to what the company does not is an opportunity cost of their decision. Various examples over here are highlighted, especially in international trade theories, where we have a very important trade theory of international trade, where countries do not specialize in making all the products. If they are specializing in, let's say, wheat, then that would be definitely at the cost of not producing some other product that the economy can. So opportunity cost has found lot of relevance in international trade theories, in trade off situations. There's a very important model of opportunity cost, that is PPC model. It is a model which talks about scarcity of resources and how a company or a country tries to decide what they will make more at the cost of producing something less. So should the company make more of four-wheelers or two-wheeler? Because resources are scarce, if they want more of four-wheeler, then that would be at the cost of less of manufacturing two-wheelers. So these type of trade-off situations you can find where opportunity cost principle is of high relevance in decision making. The third principle is equi-marginal principle. Equi-marginal principle. This is a very diagnostic principle of economic theory. Equi-marginal principle is used at consumer behavior. A consumer, while making purchasing decisions, will be using an equi-marginal principle popularized by a well-known classical economist, Alfred Marshall. He is of the opinion that consumer will compare the price of the product with the marginal utility attained from the product. So equi-marginal principle in utility analysis tries to equate the price of the product with the marginal utility of the product to be in equilibrium. So revolving around consumer behavior is equi-marginal principle. Well, so let's understand the next principle now, students, which is market equilibrium. Now, market equilibrium model can be split into various principles. First of all, when we talk about market, we are purely understanding the demand, supply, equilibrium between demand and supply. Now, there are many, many applications which have been found about market equilibrium. Whenever we try to study market equilibrium, it is very important to understand the elasticity of market. Here we talk about the elasticity of demand, the elasticity of supply in order to decide the pricing, because elasticity is how the customer respond to the company's product, and that will determine the revenue of the company. Then you have the entry principle. Now, when we say entry principle is actually how easy it is for a company to enter into the market. So when we talk about telecom, in telecom, the new players, like when Jio wanted to enter the telecom industry, how easy it was for Jio to enter the market? What was the opportunity cost that Jio was facing? What would be the profit that the Jio would be capturing in the market? Who are the other players? So this plays a very important role in understanding market. Then there is called as in related to market is a very famous model called Cobweb adjustment. Cobweb adjustment is purely connected with the agricultural sector. It tries to explain us how the market changes with price. What happens when the market is not moving smoothly? What happens if the demand is exceeding the supply or the supply is exceeding the demand? How does it affect the company's decision making? Like farmers sow the seeds based on their revenue of the past season. So how much was the prices of the crops undergoing a change? How did it impact the income of the farmers? That will guide the farmers' next season cropping decision, or you can say the sowing decision. So Cobweb adjustment found in agricultural market is very, very popular. And finally, we have what is known as competition versus monopoly. We all understand that monopoly is a single seller. So if Jio today wants to become a monopoly, then how is it going to have its pricing policy? What is its strategies that will make it a monopoly? And how will it change the entire telecom competition? These are all the principles revolving around market equilibrium. Now we move to the next principle, which is diminishing returns. Diminishing returns is one of the best known principles of economic principles, especially microeconomic principle. and we find that diminishing returns is trying to throw light on how an act of consumption, if it goes non-stop, will eventually diminish the level of utility. Diminishing returns has its application in short run and long run. And mostly, whenever we discuss about diminishing returns in economics, we are mainly discussing it in marginal terms. So marginal analysis. If you remember, we had one principle which we studied in the slide 21, which was equi-marginal principle. You remember that? Well, so whenever you talk about marginal analysis, you are going to use the principle of diminishing returns. We move next is game theory. Game theory is again explaining us the consumer equilibrium, the producer equilibrium, and especially game theory is very popular in understanding the competition among rival companies. Some of the famous game theory equilibriums are mentioned here. The non-cooperative equilibrium. Under non-cooperative equilibrium, you have prisoner's dilemma equilibrium. Then you have the Nash equilibrium. You have cooperative equilibrium and oligopoly. You'll find these type of equilibrium decisions in a market called oligopoly. Non-cooperative equilibrium is where we have two main subcategories called prisoners equilibrium and Nash equilibrium. You have matrices. This is purely statistical. You have matrices where we try to understand when there are two rival companies like Jio and Airtel, then who would be the dominant player? What would be the dominant strategy? Let's say the strategy is to increase price, to decrease price, or to increase advertising. Now, which strategy will be adopted? So, prisoner's dilemma help us in understanding how do the producers decide their strategy, and when any one competitor makes a decision, how does it impact the other competitor? Then you have Nash equilibrium. Nash equilibrium is very, very popular because Nash equilibrium helps us to understand a dominant strategy, which you may not find in prisoner's dilemma. So these are some of the topics which are very popularly using economic principles. And now we move to another principle, which is measurement principle. See, it's very difficult to measure quantitative variables like company's production, its income, its pricing strategies, and getting accurate data on it, measuring it is very, very complex and difficult. So to resolve these difficulties, economics have used certain type of measurement principles which try to overcome the difficulties which are faced while measuring these type of quantitative variables. So some of these measurement principles, as you see here, are value added and double counting, very popularly used in national income accounting. So while calculating national income of a country, there are two approaches, either double count, either value added or final. Value added is calculating the value of the products at various stages of production. Then we have real values and index numbers. See, production, whenever we measure production or any related quantity in money terms, we know that there is always going to be inflation. Prices of the products are rising, correct? So real values ka matlab hai that if I am preparing the index number, then I have to understand how much is the inflation effect on the prices of goods. So real values, calculating index numbers based on real values is one principle that is used. especially in topics like inflation. Then you have measurement of inequality. Measurement of inequality, the word inequality reflects the distribution of national income. We always use average income, average per capita income. See, when we calculate per capita income, we are always looking at the average income. But we never have something called as average income concept. Reality mein kya hota hai? Income is unequally distributed. So it's very difficult to measure inequality based on something called average income concept. So these are some of the measurement principles, just to have an idea that how various variables are measured. Okay, so as you see here, now we have the next principle, very relevant, is medium of exchange. Money. Every one of you know that we cannot have any business operation without money. What is money? Money is a medium of exchange. So medium of exchange of money is considered as one of the very important principles which has overtaken the barter system, and today we are more into a monetized economy. So the next is income expenditure equilibrium. Now when we talk about income expenditure equilibrium, here we are purely looking at it from a very macro level point of view. You can see over here the name of an economist, J.M. Keynes, Keynesian theory. The income expenditure equilibrium is very popularly used in Keynesian theory of aggregate demand. J.M. Keynes has been a revolutionary thinker of macroeconomics, and the importance of macroeconomics started with him with the onset of Great Depression in 1929. When American economy was hit by the Great Depression, and markets were not getting back into equilibrium, it was then that the principle of economic expenditure gained importance. It's very important to know that whatever income is earned by the people, how much percent of that income is being spent back into the economy. The problem for recession or depression coming in is lack of aggregate demand. As it's rightly said, if one person saves, it does not impact the economy. But when everybody starts saving and they decide not to spend, that is where the problem will come. We call it as disequilibrium between the income and expenditure. If the gap between this, or the disequilibrium between income and expenditure, widens, then that will create a signal or a warning of recession set in. So under the income expenditure equilibrium, this model tries to explain us that how various variables in the economy need to be undertaken in order to have a smooth operation of the economy. And that is why RBI always keeps a track on the spending habits of the people. Expenditure, how do people spend money? What is the per capita income? At what level the income and expenditure are growing? So this principle has been found to be very useful in understanding the trade cycles which are taking place at macro level. We move to the next, surprise principle. When we talk about surprise principle, we are here talking about people or a individual as a rational consumer, as a rational producer, as a rational human being. Like, people don't want too many unpleasant surprises. Okay, so how do the people use the information? What type of information the people use? Like, for example, today we are in an economy, we are in a generation where we are flooded with information from various sources. Then how are these information being used for bringing policy changes? How is it used for permanent decision making? And how is it used for making various path decisions? So surprise principle throws light on how effectively the information that is used by the people is used for their decision making. After this, we are moving to the central problems that the economy is facing. So managerial economics, apart from understanding the microeconomic, the various principles of economics that can be used at individual level, we are moving to the macro concept where we look upon some macroeconomic problems faced by the economy. If you look over here, the macro problems are recession, unemployment, inflation, economic growth, or stagnation. These are some of the macro problems that the economy is facing. Start with recession. How is recession? I've just given you here some of the definitions of these central problems. Because they are macro level problems and they are not one point of time related problems, we need to understand them over a period of time. So for basic understanding, we are going to focus on the basic meaning of these central problems, like recession. How do we define recession? It's purely a period of two or more successive quarters of decreasing production. So if production continuously keeps falling over a decade or over two or more quarters, like quarter one, quarter two, then that is considered as recession. Most of you may be aware that when we talk about one financial year, then one financial year can be split into various quarters of 3 months. So right from the budget being implemented. So if you start with March, so March, April, May is Q1. June, July, August will be Q2. September, October, November will be quarter 3. December, Jan and Feb will be Q4. So the GDP of the country is measured over these different quarters to understand whether there is a slowdown in the production process or not. Second is unemployment. Unemployment is one of the major central level problems that India and major world economies are facing, especially after the pandemic has hit the world nations. Unemployment will always occur when a person who is able and willing to work at the prevailing wage rate, but is unable to find work. Unemployment statistics is very important for drafting various labor laws, labor policies, and especially when the government has to come up with unemployment benefits for its population. So especially when the budget is prepared, an economic survey plays a very important role, and unemployment statistics is very useful for understanding how much of the budget needs to be given for unemployment benefit, coming under social security schemes at central level. The next central problem that we find, apart from this unemployment, is the So here we are talking about unemployment, various ways in which unemployment is being measured. Always remember, students, unemployment is measured in percentage, and economists are using various ways to distinguish various types of unemployment, because on the basis of types of unemployment, various unemployment benefits can be linked. Inflation, as we always keep talking about, general level of prices when they are rising, when there's a sustained increase, a continuous increase in the general level of prices of various goods and services, we declare that the economy is facing inflation. But what happens? What happens if there is inflation, but there is a slowdown of economic growth, or the GDP is not increasing? So economists have termed this as stagnation. Now, stagnation is a concern at macro level. If the gross domestic product is not increasing or it has slowed down, then we say that the economy is in the stage of stagnation, and various policies have to be undertaken in order to pick up the economy back on track. I think most of you will agree with this, especially in pandemic. There was a stagnation and various efforts have been made to move the economy from stagnation to the potential growth path. And if you look at the papers, today India is considered as one of the fastest in terms of potential growth after stagnation had hit most of the countries of the world post pandemic. So with that, we have successfully covered our chapter one, where we have tried to cover up objectives from starting from what managerial economics is, moving to nature and scope of managerial economics. We have tried to understand that managerial economics is application of economic theory to business practice. It revolves around the production, the cost, and revenue side of a individual organization. Managerial economics helps us to understand that a manager needs to have a normative approach along with a positive approach, have microeconomic decision based on macroeconomic framework. Various economic principles have been used and they are being used in various topics, right from measurement principles to surprise principles to equi-marginal utility, revolving around consumer behavior, producer behavior, market equilibrium, and finally the central level problems which may have an impact on individual decision making. Keep reading the newspapers, keep a track of various changes that are happening to have better and more application of chapter one. So with that, we have successfully completed chapter one. Thank you.